Okay. Good morning, everyone. For those I haven't greeted yet, good morning. Before I start, there has been a request by our pastor emeritus, Alan. what am I doing? Okay. So he is looking to gift someone with something, and it's something that's quite difficult to find. And it is a, you know, pressure cooker, but we all have electronic pressure cookers now, huh? He has a friend who's looking for one of the old ones that you put on the stovetop. Remember those? So I know someone here has got one stuck somewhere in the bottom of the cupboard somewhere. There we go. We have a taker. Amen. The anointing is on this lady, Alan. thank you very much. So, Alan, there we go. And Charles. The electronic ones, for me, I'm a little bit more modern. It's easy. You press the button and you do it. But they want the old one, and you can't find them. Apparently, you can't find them anymore. So, what's that? Okay. So, where are we going? The last couple of weeks, so I asked you to give me three Sundays. First week was who I am. Last week was who we are. And I think almost everyone's come back again. So I haven't offended you too much. But now this morning is where we are going. So this morning you need to strap in, hold on, and kind of go, okay, this is where we're going to be going as a church. Because where we're going comes out of our belonging and who we are, doesn't it? We are children of God. We are His children. We are His creation. And He calls us to some stuff. So if you've missed the last 2 weeks, if you're visiting this morning or you missed the last 2 weeks, the talks are on our YouTube channel, so you can follow them there. But I thought to lay the foundation this morning. This last week, I think I had about 15 points in my sermon. Today, I've only got three. Do you feel better? Oh, okay. So you guys don't like my voice, eh? I can still say a lot in 3 points, okay. So I thought to find out where we're going, the best way to do it would be, you guys know who John Wimber was, the founder of the Vineyard? Okay, there are Wimberisms or sayings or statements in the movement. And I think these will inform and give us direction as a church and as a movement in the nation and in our own lives. So where are we going? Here are today's three Wimberisms that I want to look at. The first one, everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play. From the guys in the tiny tots and the children's church and from the youngest person here, from LMA to the oldest person here, and I'm not making eye contact or looking at anyone at this point, okay? But everybody gets to play. Second one is doing the stuff. Everyone gets to do the stuff, and we'll unpack what that looks like in a bit. And then the last one is this. John Wimber said this, the church is not the building, it's the people, which is us, yes? It's not just the gathering, it's also the scattering. So that's just a little bit of a foundation for this morning. So first thing, everybody gets to play. Here's a scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 28, or we can read it together on the screen. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of, do you see it? What does it say? All. Do you see the all? I want you to just kind of remember the all thing there, okay? The all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. And the Greek word here for all is pas. And you know what it means? All. It's a very complicated word. It means all, everyone, every person, whoever you see, wherever you see them, every person on the planet, that's what it means. Okay? All people. So can I ask a quick question? Are you an all? Okay, thank you. Some of you do not look convinced. You are an all if you're not sure. Okay? So this applies to you. So let me ask a question. Who here can sing? Okay, so just by a show of hands, who can sing? I'm not going to make you sing. Okay, so David can sing. What? Alan. Okay, can I pose something to you? Oh, there, and Tony. There we go. So we've got three singers in the church. Okay. Can I pose something to you? That actually every single person can sing. We worshiped together this morning, didn't we? I heard you singing. I heard angelic voices worshiping Jesus this morning. It may be how good you can sing. Or, no, not how good. That's not good. Help me. How well, thank you. Need my wife to help me with my grammar. How well you can sing. You know, I've been doing this since last century. I've auditioned at many worship things, and I've never been invited into a worship team. So apparently, okay. So here's another question. Who here can pray out loud? Okay, you know where I'm going. Okay, so maybe 10% of the people put their hands up. So I want us to do something now. Please, I know this is a difficult thing. But can we read something together on the screen? It's going to be on the screen now. Okay? And I want to ask you if we can read this together out loud. Can we do that? All right. Let's read together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Can I ask you again, who can pray out loud? Okay, for those of you who are confused, that's a prayer. Okay, some people are going, really? Okay, you just prayed out loud. Ah, you see. Yeah, clever. Yeah. My wife's cleverer than me, just so you know. But you know, praying out loud is something that's not really comfortable. So we all did it. So I asked who can pray, and a few people put their hands up. Who can sing? A few people put their hands up. But we all sang, and as you just saw, we all prayed. Because when the disciples asked Jesus, how must we pray? He said, this is how you must pray. So if you read that out loud, you prayed out loud, yeah? And I understand that it's a difficult thing. It's uncomfortable. My background, when growing up, your faith was a very, very private thing. So you didn't talk about Jesus, you didn't talk about church, and you most certainly didn't pray out loud. The closest we got to praying out loud was in school. You know, if you have this color hair, you used to say the Lord's Prayer in assembly at school. You'll remember that. Yeah? Our Father, what we just prayed. But praying out loud was a difficult thing. And I did the Alpha course, and this Irishman, Mike Mahoney, have I told you the story? No, okay, so this Irishman, Mike Mahoney, who ran the Alpha course, who was someone that was so different to my culture. Because, you know, I went to the Alpha course, I thought we were going to hang out and have coffee. And this guy comes, he finishes the Alpha course, and he's walking with me, and I'm walking, holding my cup of coffee. He takes it out of my hand, he said, okay, thanks, see you next week. I haven't even finished my coffee yet. He says, no, we said we finish at 9, we finish at 9. So he was quite an interesting chap. But I loved him, and I learned so much from him. So he phones me, and he says to me, I'm not feeling well. Can you pop around? So I'm like, cool, no, go and see him, go and see him. So he's sitting in the lounge. He says, would you pray for me? I said to him, of course I'll pray for you, Mike. I love you. He says, no, now. I was like, no. Now, the agreement was I was praying for you. Not now. I sweated. Sweated a word? I don't even know if it's a word. I swatted. I did something. I was sweating. Okay. But man, it took me so far out of my comfort zone to pray out loud for this wonderful, wonderful Father in the faith. But I did. And you know what? God did something when I took that step of faith. And as you can see, I haven't stopped talking since. Yeah? So I wasn't really a public speaker, whatever the case may be. This same guy says, okay, we're going to get baptized. Okay? Would you like to get baptized? I said, yes. He said, okay. I said, okay, cool, good thing. We're going to do it. There's like 50 people there. And then what does he do? He says, I want you to say why. You need to tell these people why you want to be baptized. Because it's a public declaration of your faith. And I'm like, listen, you got me praying. Now you want me speaking in front of people. But as I stepped into that, God did something, okay? Everybody gets to play. And I can take it a little bit further. The Passion paraphrase, it's called the Passion Translation of the Bible, but it's not a translation, okay? It is a paraphrase of the Bible, but some of the way things are worded are quite nice. And Acts 1:8 is just put so beautifully, and it's put this way. I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will be seized with power. You will be seized with power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be seized with power. You will be my messengers to Jerusalem, through Judea, the distant provinces, and to the remotest parts of the world. You will be seized with power. So when you go home, when you go to your family this afternoon for lunch, when you go to the Pick and Pay, when you go to work tomorrow, when you go to gym tomorrow afternoon, wherever you go with every person you encounter, you will be seized with power. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. And you will be seized with power when He comes upon you to be His messengers. And you're going, well, Andrew, is this for me? I want to say it is. This is outside of my frame of reference. And I know this is a wonderful church. And God bless Alan and Charlotte and the team. They have done. The more time I'm spending here, the more I'm really realizing what an amazing community this is. What amazing leaders and elders and staff are in this place. It is a, let me tell you, this is a privileged place to be in. It is, and I'm just coming into it and I'm going, man, I love this place and I love these people. It's just incredible. God bless you, Ellen and Shaul. You have done an amazing job. And that round of applause goes to David and Shirley, and I'm not going to name someone, so someone's going to get offended. So that round of applause is for everyone. Okay. So so if I didn't mention you by name, don't be offended, because you're on everyone. You're on all. Okay. So is this for me? Yes, it is. It is. Because read with me here what Dr. Luke writes. He says this, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, all who are far off, all whom the Lord God, and all on all whom the Lord God will call. That all who are far off phrase that I've underlined there. All who are far off. The Greek word that's put in there is else. But if you look at the phraseology, it is written in the present continuous tense in the Greek, which means it's not just people distance, so the guys in Timbuktu. It is present continuous. In other words, it is time. It is a continuing thing. This promise is for you and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and their and until Jesus comes back. It is a present continuous. This promise is for you and your children and everyone to come, every generation. And you are an all. Because when I said, are you an all, everyone went, yes. That means this promise is for you. This promise, when you repent, when you go, Jesus, forgive me, come and take lordship of my life. I am yours. Come and take control. Holy Spirit indwells you. And this promise is for you. You can be seized with power, and the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead indwells you to play. Everybody gets to play. Okay? We all get to do this. First point, everybody gets to play. Second point, what is it? What is this get to play? This is kind of the doing the stuff thing that John Wimber called. John Wimber called it doing the stuff. What is doing the stuff? Jesus laid it out so well in Matthew 10. Read with me. As you go, preach this message. As you go, that's you and me, all of us, okay? The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You're going, really? Yes, really. Really, listen, I grew up, this was so far out of not even my comfort zone, my frame of reference. I had no idea that this stuff could happen. Zero, no, zilt, nothing, you know? So here's a couple of my experiences as I started in this journey where God, you could not convince me of this because my worldview did not make space for that. So the Lord said, okay, well, let me show you. So I've got my pizzeria. Yeah, Mandy knows what's coming now. I've got my pizzeria, my restaurant, whatever, and I go to Nampak to buy some salad bowls and what have you. There's a lady there and she's weeping and I'm like, what's going on? And I see her every week to fetch stock. She says, my son is deaf. His name's Billy. He's 4. And this week there is one last specialist in Sunning Hill who may be able to unglue the, what's the anvil, the stirrups and the something in your ear. You know those bones? They were just molded together. And there was some surgery. And she was weeping for her 4-year-old son. So I said, okay, we'll pray. So we pray. And I pray that week. And I walk into the office next. I take one look at her and she's weeping. She's sobbing. And I'm, oh. Okay, so now how do I answer this question? I said, what happened? She says, he went to the specialist. The specialist checked him. And as he was checking him, he says, this child's hearing is perfect. You see, now my worldview goes, now if it's an adult, I can explain it away. You had chuchos in your ears or something. But a 4-year-old who's deaf and can hear is a miracle. My first experience with a demonized person, I'm in Zimbabwe at a conference. And, you know, I'm standing there and there's a Swiss pastor standing next to me in Harare. And we're in worship. No one's praying, just worshiping. And now this guy falls on the floor. Wah. Sumasua, just like that. And I look at this and I'm like, is he having a fit? What's going on? And then he physically looked like he swelled. His eyes rolled back. I thought, oh my goodness. And then he took the corner of a chair. You know, a chair like this? Like he took a corner. He was on the floor, took it like this, and he went, chook, and that chair flew right across the auditorium. And I was like, okay, I think I know what's going on, yeah? First ministry trip, I've been a Christian for 5 minutes. No, seriously. And I'm like, huh. And I'm looking, you know Costa was here for the lunch? He's there, I'm with Costa. He's standing in the corner with his arms crossed, and he's just smiling at me. And I'm going, where's Costa? And I'm like, I need help. He's like, just, and I'm like, and you know what scripture pops into my heart, my mind? The sons of Sceva. You know the sons of Sceva, the guys that got beaten up? Where the guy said, you know, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who you? And I thought, if I get beaten up on my first ministry trip, I'm never going to be allowed to go on ministry ever again. Mandy's going to go, listen, forget about it. Jesus is going to set him free. And he did. See, you can't explain that stuff away. You can only experience it. I can teach about this until I'm blue in the face. You can look at me like I'm mad. But let me tell you, when a demonized person manifests in front of you, you can't explain it away. You can't. When a 4-year-old child receives the hearing, you can't explain that away. When you see a leg grow, you can't explain it away. Last year, my mother, who was here last week, some of you may have met her, she was so sick. She had interstitial lung disease. The x-rays of her lungs looked like trees. It's supposed to be black, your lungs, okay? Like trees, all white, all the hardening. It is not curable. Not curable. She's been going to the pulmonologist. She's been sick. We pray. She goes for a checkup a couple of months ago. There's a YouTube clip on my, because I had to put it on. She comes back. She says, the doctor looks and he goes, Mrs. Christie, I don't know what happened. Pulmonologist, but your lungs are clear. 6 months ago, here's your x-rays. 6 months later, here's your x-rays. Clear. See, you can't, and this is the stuff we get to do. Everybody gets to play, and this is the stuff that you get to do and see and experience. I see some of you look at me going, hell, this like, I don't know. Walk in it and watch. Okay, I love these stories. I'll give you one more. Also, first ministry trip, I take a team. First time I take a team with me myself, we go to Zimbabwe, and we pray for this lady, and her name's Eileen. She gets up, and she's an elderly lady, and she's got 2 crutches. And she's hobbling like this from the arthritis. The pain. She can't walk. We pray and nothing happens. Okay. Off we go. Next morning we go to an old age home, a retirement village to just hang out with some of the guys. And we're driving out. And as we're driving out, here comes Eileen running up the driveway. And she bangs on Sue's Mazda 323. Remember those old Mazda 3? She bangs on the boot. Bah, and we stop and we're going, what's going on? She says, why didn't anyone ever tell me that Jesus heals? My pain's gone. And you know, the deal is, she died 18 months later, but pain-free. And just to put some context here, everyone dies. Not everyone gets healed, okay? Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, died. Okay, so just to put that in there. And I know he's dead because I've been to his tomb in Cyprus. It's in Larnaca in a church called Aya Lazaru. And you can go down into the underneath the church, and his tomb's there. So Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But when Jesus says, seek first his kingdom, he's not talking about a place. He's not talking about a place. He's talking about the spiritual reign, rule and reign and authority of God. He's saying, seek first God's kingdom, God's authority, God's reign, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. He's not saying, seek first the place, seek first heaven. He's saying, seek first the authority of God, the personal, dynamic rule and reign of God in and through the person of Jesus Christ and in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what we seek first. Seek first that. So when Jesus says, Father, your kingdom come and your will be done, he's not saying your kingdom come. He's saying your authority, your reign, come in this place. Come in my body. Come on this person. That's what he's saying. As it is in heaven. Paul says it this way. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And I'm doing a lot of talking, but I want to get this point across. Because everybody gets to play, and the stuff we get to play, the doing the stuff, is this thing of inviting the kingdom to come, inviting the authority and the reign of God to come into every element of our lives, in our bodies, in our families, in our finance, in our workplace, in every element of our lives. Because in the vineyard, we believe in the proclamation and the demonstration of the kingdom. We talk about this stuff and then we do it. We say, hey, Jesus said, pray your kingdom come. Then we say, your kingdom come, be healed in Jesus' name. And sometimes stuff happens. And it's really cool when it does. And I want to say this, not every person is healed. But the more people you pray for, the more people you'll see be healed. The more people you pray for, the more people you'll see being healed. You might pray for 100 people and no one's healed. But that 101 person might be healed. And when you get one, hey, this works. I'm going to do that again. Then you pray for 50 and the 51st person gets healed. And you're, hey. Then you start walking around the shopping centers going, who's limping? Oh, bro, you look a bit sick, eh? Can I pray for you? No, because that's the deal. This is not what we have to do. This is what we get to do. How cool is it that we can walk around, invite the authority of God, and when we do, things happen. That is so cool. Because the more people you pray for, you know, people go, yeah, but Andrew, you know, you've got a gift of evangelism and healing. I don't. I just gossip the gospel all the time, and every now and then someone gets saved. Because I'm a fanatic. You know what a fanatic is? Someone who refuses to change the subject and talks about the same thing over and over. I talk about Jesus, and people get saved. I'm not an evangelist. People say, no, you're a healer. I'm like, no, I believe Jesus healed. So I pray for the sick, and then people get healed. Because I don't possess any of that stuff. The Holy Spirit indwells me, and every now and then I get to participate with what God's doing. That's the deal. You know, and when you understand the kingdom this way, when you understand Christian life this way, you can no longer compartmentalize your life. You can't go, this is my church life. I'm sitting here on Sunday morning in Centurion Vineyard. Okay, now I'm a Christian. Chips, Ellen's coming. Be careful what you say. No, you can't. Because the kingdom breaks all those barriers and breaks through all that stuff. So when you got this, you're living your life in boxes. It's my school, it's my work, it's my family, it's this and that. You know what the kingdom does? It comes and goes, oh, bah, and it just breaks all those barriers down. And he breaks through in every aspect of your life. And it can be messy. You know, I was invited to see a friend of mine. They got a sweet factory. They invited me. And this friend of mine, in a mocking, joking way, invited one of the ladies from the floor into the office. And he says to her, "This guy's a pastor, and he'll pray for you." So I said, "Okay." And he thought he was making a joke of it. I said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yes, please." I said, "Cool." So I go into his office, start praying. She just crumbles to the floor. And the Holy Spirit comes on her. And these guys are standing there going, "Oh, what is this?" Because no frame of reference. They come from the context I came from. But God breaks through in all these things unto his glory. And that woman got healed and saved. She had, they thought she had breast cancer. That's gone. And they're going, "Oh, look, that was supposed to be a joke, eh? So you take this stuff seriously, eh?" I said, "No, Jesus takes this stuff seriously. You invited me to, you need to know, if you invite me to pray, I'm going to pray." Do you know what I mean? If you go, when you catch me here on a Sunday and you go, "Oh, Andrew, you know what I got? Yeah, and can you help me?" "No, I can't help you, but Jesus can. Let's pray." And he does. You know, this thing is not about Christian life and secular life. It is about your whole life. Everyone gets to play. We all get to do this, wherever we are. Not everyone is supposed to be a pastor or in full-time ministry. God help us. Imagine all of us every Sunday morning standing here and talking to all of us. We just never leave church. But, you know, as I took this life to be my own and I began to understand it, I began to understand that this is not about pie in the sky when you die. It's about steak on your plate while you wait. John Wimberisms, yeah? I didn't make that up, John. That's a John Wimber. But it is. It's not about just getting to heaven. It's about steak on your plate while you wait. What I spoke about last week, you go to the restaurant. You don't just look at the menu and leave. You order and you eat and you pay. Yeah? Tithe. So the deal is, the Bible is the menu. You don't just read it and put it in the desk. You take it, you apply it, you proclaim it, and you do it. And you will see your own life changed and the people around you's lives changed. And our church will grow. Because let me tell you, it's not me who's going to grow this church, it's Jesus. It's his church. Jesus working in and through his people. That's how this church is going to grow. Okay? I'll move on. Okay. But all too often we have this view of Christianity that it's just about my salvation. So when I die, but it's not. It's not. It's about Christian life. It's about the mission of God today. And you know what? Too often the army of Jesus is just complacent, cauterized, placid. People live that way. They just live complacent, placid, cauterized lives. And that's not what we're called to. We're not called to just kind of, "Well, I'm a Christian. It's like a..." No, think about it. And listen, I'm speaking now to us as a family, as a vineyard, because we take the kingdom too lightly. And I'm saying that, I speak in vineyards all around the place, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But we do. You know, the last couple of Sundays, we've seen people healed, we've seen people set free, we've seen all sorts of amazing things happen. And what do you do as a vineyard? "Oh, that was quite cool. Hey, oh man, when Jesus comes, that's radical stuff." And yes, I took a John Wimber quote again, but this is my paraphrase of what he said, and I want you to read it with me on the screen. You don't have to read it out loud, but this is so true. "When we count on and depend on, when we let everything hinge on and rest on a few distinctive leaders, faithful men and women of God, to dish out and distribute healing, prophecy, giving, words of knowledge, prayer, care, love, basically any revelations and gifts of the Holy Spirit, we disempower God's army and turn them into onlookers and spectators, basically an audience. Friends, listen, it's not about me and the staff and the ministry team. And yes, we all have these functions, but it's about all of us doing this. You know, you don't have to wait for an invitation to ministry. Just minister to someone. You don't have to wait. Go, okay, well, let's wait for Andrew to start, you know, ministry time. If you're sitting next to someone and you feel God's, put your hand on them and bless them. Do you know what I mean? Are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit or to me? Both. That's the right answer. Okay. Sorry, being naughty. So do you know that you are God's army? You are God's army. You and you and you and you and you and you and you. Every person sitting here is God's army. And every single person sitting here today, if you have Jesus in your life, you're called to engage with His master plan for your life, which is the mission of God, the missio Dei of God into the world. It's not just with wise words that you participate. It's not just justice cause. It's not just being a good person. All these are good things. Yeah, and you might be thinking, oh, but Andrew, I don't know about this. I'm just speaking from personal experience that as I engaged with this in my own life, I began to see things change. As I began to, as I was skeptical about power encounters with God, He showed me for myself as I just took that risk and stepped into it and said, okay, Lord, if this is true, show me. You know, last story, then I'm going to get to my third point. I was still struggling with this, like people falling over and all that, and not that you don't have to fall over. Okay. But I was like, this is dodge. So we have, the Swiss pastor who was delivered, he's now delivered and he's preaching in the church. But he's preaching in German. Yurka was there and she's translating. Wayne's not there. So he preaches, he goes, I feel God wants to bless the woman today. So he calls all the women up and there's just like, say, 50 women standing in front of the church. So he starts praying. So I walk up to the first, get about this far, on the floor. I thought, you know what, that lady's only been in the church for about 6 months. She's probably one of those. So I look and I find Dylan and Jackie. They're still the worship, Dylan's still the worship leader. Jackie, I now know Jackie. She's a solid person. She's a professional person. She's not a flake. I walk up. I get about this far from her. Now she's on the floor. But you see, I'm quite thick-skinned. I'm going, nah, don't know about this. Eh? So there was this, she passed away. She was a little Irish lady about this big, Heather. And she used to prophesy in the church. You know, like with that Irish accent, with this booming voice. I thought, there is no ways. Because she's like the general. Eh? She's like, she's proper. I walk up to her, get about this far. She's like, on the floor. And I had to go, okay, Lord, forgive me. I'm dumb. Please just keep showing me this stuff. Because that's been the reality. It has been in the proclamation and demonstration that I've learned. It's in the experience. It's as you go. And that's what we're going to talk about now. So last point. The church is not the building. It's the people. It's not just the gathering. It's the scattering. There's a sign. And we'll get the trees trimmed on the right of the gate as you go out. It says you're now entering the mission field. That's the deal. That's the deal. You know, we gather to scatter. You know, like a human body, you breathe in and you get oxygen and nutrients and then you breathe out. Yeah? We breathe in, we come into church, we gather, we worship together, we are blessed, we are healed, we are equipped, and we breathe out and we go out into the world, like you're taking a breath. You know, so where are we going? We are not going for seeker-sensitive. We're not going for seeker-sensitive services. Okay, we're going after His presence. We're going after His presence because when we go after Jesus and after His presence, He will build His church. That's what the Bible says. He didn't say if you've got fancy lights and nice things and smoke and things and make it nice and clean. You know, so everyone comes in and everyone's happy and we've got good coffee. And these are all good things, guys, but Jesus is the one that builds the church. And we can't, for lack of a better word, dumb down the Holy Spirit, yeah, for seekers. Because when the Holy Spirit is here and people are being healed and set free and delivered, you know what happens? The unbelievers come in and they go, sure, truly God is among you. That's, you know, that's in the book, just so you know. It is, okay? So what do we have to do? It's as we go after His presence, we enter into the Missio Dei, the mission of God. But there's an intentionality that needs to come with our engagement. Please stay with me. I know I'm a little bit over time, but this is important stuff, and I don't want to promise I'll never preach this long again. But can you stay? Can you cope with? Give me another 5 minutes, or okay, not five, maybe a bit longer. Is that okay? As long as I like. Okay, Alan's saying as long as I like. Mandy says I've got 5 minutes. I'll find somewhere in between. Okay. Okay. Matthew 9. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask Him to send workers into His fields. Let's pray for more workers because people are stretched. I'm here and I'm in this office and I'm engaging with people. There are margins. There are not high margins in this life. We need workers. Let's pray for workers, but the deal is that you are one of them. You are one of the workers. So we pray for more, but you are one of the workers. That's the starting point of where we're going. So next year, now we're going into next year, I would like, we've been praying about it, and we've got a planning day on Wednesday, for us to start, they call DMM groups. Discipleship, it's from the Discipleship Making Movement. Okay? They are fantastic discipleship groups. I would like for everyone or every group, and if you would like to start a group, we'll do some training. It is so easy. And this video will explain it.
The last thing Jesus told His disciples to do was to go everywhere and teach everyone to obey everything He asked them to do. But how? How were 11 uneducated and unsophisticated Jewish men supposed to make disciples in all the different cultures and languages of the world? They had no money, no power, no organization, and no leader. And to make matters worse, they were outcasts in their own society and religion. The disciples didn't seem to have anything, and yet they changed everything. What they did have was a life-changing experience with Jesus, a willingness to simply obey, the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, and lots of contacts. What we call today a social network. Here's what happened. Everything started with prayer. Then came the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. After Pentecost, people visiting Jerusalem from faraway places went home and told their friends and family what God had done. And when those people passed on what they had experienced, the good news about Jesus spread like wildfire. Post-Pentecost social networking is how the gospel went viral. That was over 2,000 years ago. So how are we doing today? There is some good news and some not so good news. The good news, the number of Christians is increasing. The not so good news, the percentage of Christians is stuck. So what's the problem and how can we solve it? The biggest issue seems to be that not all believers in Jesus are actually obedient followers of Jesus. The main job of being a disciple of Jesus is to make more disciples. But not many people are doing that today. In the first century, what created a spiritual revolution was disciples making disciples who made disciples. Dozens became hundreds, hundreds became thousands, and before too long, thousands had multiplied to millions. All because ordinary people simply obeyed what Jesus told them to do and taught those who responded to do the same. We think this is an idea whose time has come again. We call it Disciple Making Movements, or DMM for short. It's a movement because it can multiply naturally. So how do you start a disciple making movement? It's actually very simple. The engine is what we call a Discovery Bible Study. Here's how a Discovery Bible Study works. As God reveals a leader within a community, a disciple-making coach helps them to form a group from among their friends and family. The group starts a process of direct interaction with God's Word. The format is simple. What does the passage say? What does it mean? What will I do in response? And finally, Who can I tell so another group can start? Personal discovery, immediate obedience, and consistent replication are the launching pad for new movements. Every individual has a unique circle of influence. No two are exactly alike, but everybody's circle overlaps with many others. The intersection points are where movements take off. No matter what country, language, or culture, people share what is important to them with those they care about. Normally, when we dream about the future, we want to leave behind the old and embrace the new. But perhaps as we reimagine how to complete the Great Commission, we need to go back to how it all began. The early followers of Jesus turned the world upside down through simple obedience and natural networking. We're watching the same thing happen today. As it was in the beginning, it will be until the end. Ordinary people multiplying disciples in their natural networks is God's plan to complete the Great Commission. Disciple-making movements, an idea whose time has come again.
So the deal is, as we look forward into 2024, we would love, I would love to see small groups starting all over. Let's have 30 or 40 groups of 4 and 5 people. It is so easy, and we'll have an equipping time in January, and we'll talk more about these groups. And I can't explain more now because we're going to run out of time. So into 2024, we're going to look at the new groups, starting the new groups. We have the new member class starting on the 28th of January. We will do baptism class and baptisms once we have the stairs sorted out for the baptismal font. The Build series is a series that we're starting, which will incorporate a whole number of courses and training. We will have several courses, various courses like the School of the Prophets, Celebrate Recovery, and others running through next year. I'm going very quickly. SALT. Anyone heard of SALT? Okay. School of Leadership and Theology. There we go. Thanks, Val. There's posters at the back. By the way, I'm a director for my sins. I'm a director of the university as well, so I fully endorse it. Great training tool. So talk to us if you'd like to be equipped further in terms of theology. Healing rooms will continue, and I want to just for a few moments press into this thing of mission, because I truly believe, you know, we are a vineyard family. We're part of a global family. To 110 nations, there are vineyards. And as we engage here in Centurion and in South Africa and in Africa and around the globe, there is room in the vineyard for you. There's room for you to participate and be a part of this. So I want to just, this morning the Lord woke me up and he said, I need to show you. So I want to show you a few pictures. This has been my year this year. And on most of these trips, I've taken teams from the church with me. So I was in Durban on mission, and we took a team down earlier this year. And after the service, we baptized, I think, Vic, helped me, 15 people, something like that. We baptized 15 people after the service. I spoke about baptism, and then we just did it. Proclamation, demonstration. After that, I was in Mission Vale and in Quebeca. I'm still working on it. Quebeca. There we go. So I spoke in Missionville, at Quebeca, and at RIT. Then I had the privilege of being part of a Catch the Fire with Sean Feucht at New Covenant Bryanston. We had 8,000 people attend. 8,000 people. I had a privilege of being part of that. And let me tell you, God came in power that I was, because we vineyard, we were part of the ministry team. We had 100 ministry people on the soccer field, ready for people. You know that no one could minister to anyone? Because they did like an altar call on being, I forget whatever, people ran and fell on their faces. They were 20 people deep the whole length of the field, just weeping before God. This is the stuff that we get to be a part of. Had the privilege of speaking at a church a couple of times in Mauritius earlier this year. Then I was in Cape Town. That's the pastor of Father's House, Tim Feeder. He graduated with SALT. So I did his graduation, spoke to the pastors in Cape Town, and got to do some work with the teams there. I was in Zimbabwe. These are photos at the Merendera Church, meeting with pastors and leaders, and we spent a few days together with the pastors and their wives. I was in Kathmandu in Nepal for the Global Missions Team meetings, and that bottom picture to the right is blurred out specifically because Christians are persecuted in Nepal. So you cannot show those photos, but that is the church. There were 500 people worshiping and crying out before God in the basement of a hotel. But you can't speak Jesus in that place. But Jesus is moving in power, and people are getting healed and set free and delivered and saved in Nepal. That was earlier this year. Then we were in Gqeberha again at the conference. Alan and Shaul were there as we blessed them, and Tyron, who took over at Willow Hill, our previous church. And then I thought, I've got to show you, you know, from Willow, because all this is from Willow Hill, where I come from. I got to preach here from Willow Hill. Willow Hill sent me here. I got to preach here at Centurion. So mission, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. It happens as you leave here. Doesn't have to. You don't have to get on an airplane and go somewhere, because if it's not, it's all local church-based. If it's not happening here, it's not going to happen there. Just because you get on an airplane, you don't get closer to heaven and get some anointing and then you land. No, it's got to happen here in the local church. All mission, I am convinced of this fully, and you can fight with me as much as you want. Mission is local church-based. Starts here, and then we go. Okay? So when we go, we will grow. We'll see our lives change, the church change, our community changed, our city, our nation, and the world. So there's lots of opportunities, and I just listed a few because I'm working on the global team and on Vineyard Missions Africa, putting trips together around Cape Town, PE, Durban for next year, as well as, let me get some of these places, Kenya, Uganda, Angola, Botswana, Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, Mauritius, Rodrigues Islands, Malawi, Mozambique, Ivory Coast, Mali, Angola, South Sudan, and more. From here, we go. And there's opportunities everywhere. And may God light the fire in your heart that you walk in the fullness of who He's called you to be in this place. And it's as you go in this place, you will grow. And there's opportunities in all these amazing places for you to go. So that is where we're going to see our church grow. That is the touch point. As we make disciples and as we go, we're going to see this church grow. And I'm convinced the Lord dropped a figure in my mind, and we're not about figures, we're not about numbers. Yeah, but I don't see why we can't be 3,000 people as a community. And you're looking around and going, hey, I'm going to be squashed in here, man. No, think about it. We can seat 700 people. If you do three services at 600, that's 1,800. Normally, 30%, about 25 to 30% don't come. That's a church. So if you do three services of 600 or 700 on a Sunday, that's a church of 3,000 people. We will see our church grow as everybody plays, as we do the stuff, and as we go into the mission of God for our lives. Flat, I'm going to stop there. I've got more stuff to say, but I'm going to stop. I want to pray, and the Lord dropped a scripture in my heart. Not a scripture, a phrase in my heart this morning for us. And it was this. Pay attention to the external source, and the internal power will be there. Pay attention to the external source. Pay attention to God. Pay attention to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and the internal power will be there. We're kind of trying to find this thing inside us. He is there, but look to Him and His presence. And when we look to Him and His presence, the power is there and available to us. So can we stand? And I'd like to start, let's start ministry there and see what the Lord wants to do this morning. So Holy Spirit, would you come in power this morning? You know, if you're comfortable, lift your hands, hold your hands, palms up. And I think that phrase is Jesus saying, it's not about you, it's about me. He is the source. And when you look to him, the internal power will be there. The world puts it differently. You are powerful. You are woman raw. You are man. You can do this. Rubbish, man. It's about Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to the source who is Jesus, the God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, and the internal power will be there. So Holy Spirit, would you move this morning among us? Would you have your way, Jesus? Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. The Lord is here. I see him resting on so many people. I say to you, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, and have your way. In this moment, I say to you, his kingdom come. His kingdom come upon you. His authority, his reign, his rule come upon you in this moment now. Receive the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. I was beginning to see the Holy Spirit just move on people. You may just be feeling peace. Some are beginning to shake. Some are beginning to sway. Come, Holy Spirit, to say yes. You may just feel weepy. Maybe you just want to recommit your life to Jesus this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Focus on the King of Kings, and the internal power will be there. Come, Lord Jesus, and have your way this morning. Come, Lord Jesus, and have your way. I want to do things a bit differently this morning.